Hi, guys. Welcome to episode 27 of Small Talk with the podcast, the at-home series. I'm here with fashion and lifestyle expert Sydney Sadick. She's been a TV correspondent for shows like Today, E!, Inside Edition, Good Morning America, just to name a few. She's also the recent author of her book, Aim High, which congrats, and I'm so excited to get into. But before we talk about all the good stuff, let's meet Sydney. So hi, my fellow Sydney, how are you?
Hi, I know. We are trending in the name department.
So before we talk about you, how's life been during this crazy time?
Life has been really weird, to say the least. I feel like I went from the most social person to the most antisocial. I would be going to multiple events a night. I was dating like crazy. I was seeing my friends. And now my life has totally taken a 180. But I will say that it's allowed me to be more focused than ever. And I feel like I'm doing exactly what I want to be doing in terms of my career. And I'm just trying to honestly take that as where I'm supposed to be and hope that there's just other plan post, quarantine and COVID that will be kind of waiting for me at the end.
Right. I feel like for me, one thing I've been enjoying a lot is I've been getting this really great quality time with my family that I never really get because I live in the city and I'm always, it's a very fast paced lifestyle. So just slowing things down and enjoying these moments has been super special.
Quality is in all caps, it's bolded, it's italicized, underlined, there is not any more quality time that we could possibly have.
Absolutely. You've also been doing your lunchtime with Sydney on IG, which is you kind of been pivoting your own brand. How's that been going? It's been awesome.
It's so fun. Yeah. Thank you. No, I've always really wanted to have conversations with people on a regular basis. I felt so lucky that I felt right before quarantine, I was on TV more than ever. I was on three times a week, which is a lot. And I always say for not being with just one network. And I really thought to myself, how can I do something that makes me still feel that sense of fulfillment during these times? I was like, you know what? I don't need, a TV to create the show I've always wanted to have. Let me just do it on Instagram for now. And we've had, I think today was my 75th guest, which is crazy. Oh, yeah. And every day gets bigger and better. And the guests, we had Francesca from Too Hot to Handle yesterday, Candace Cameron Bure, Rebecca Romaine, we've had designers on, and it's just so fun to be able to bring these, influential voices and faces into, my audience's world.
Yeah, it's cool because one of the special parts about living in the world of technology and the digital age is that we can create our own thing. You can go and create your own show. You don't have to wait till someone hands it to you, which is super cool. So let's talk about your story. Just give us your background, where you went to school, what'd you study, all that.
Sure. So I grew up born and raised in New York City, which is, I think that on top of then having a very stylish grandmother was how I always knew that fashion was my calling. But in terms of the journalism side of things, I took summer courses at Harvard University summer program, and I just needed to get out of the city for a summer. I never went to camp. I wasn't always really following what the kids were doing. And I was looking at courses and there were journalism classes. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. Science, math, those things don't really sound so interesting to me, but journalism, that could be up my alley. So I went and I took two journalism courses. And for one of them, I had to start a blog and I focused it on fashion because I didn't know what else to write about. And it was called Style Solutions. And it became the hot thing everyone was reading at summer school. Then I came back to New York as a senior and I wanted to continue it. So I thought, you know what, let me make this a little bit different. Let me start interviewing celebrities. But I was 16 or 17 and I didn't really know how to do that. And so I saw an advertisement in the New York Post that Rihanna was going to be at Barnes & Noble for her first book, which I actually have in this room. And I asked my Spanish teacher if I could leave a little early. She let me go. I waited in a line for 3 hours. Was the last person to be on this line, met Rihanna. And instead of asking her to just sign my book, I asked her if she could write down what her favorite fashion accessory was. And I was able to turn that into a story on my blog, which then went viral. I think I had 20,000 views. And this was in 2011, 2010, around then. So it was really at the beginning. And that was my way of starting into journalism. And then went to GW in their School of Media and Public Affairs at George Washington University. Interned throughout that time, The Daily Front Row, Rachel Zoe, Oprah Magazine, and got a job ultimately at The Daily as an editor upon graduation. And that's how I really got my foot in the door in fashion. And yeah.
You were at The Daily. That's such an awesome story. So you were at The Daily for 9 years, right?
I was. So started off there as an intern and then freelanced for them throughout college and then actually started full-time in the office every day right after graduation, like the next day, and was there 2 years in that role, but a total of 9 years of being associated with the publication. Yeah.
Incredible. So your first real job that really got into the industry, which one was that? That was
definitely being at the Daily Front Row, because that was the first job where I had, you know, true responsibility. They were sending me to New York Fashion Week at 17 years old, sitting front row, you know, covering these shows and interviewing designers. And I was just, my brother always jokes with me, and especially now that this book is happening, because it's such a huge shift. He's like, do you remember when you had that little old fashioned, you know, tape recorder and you would go up to all the celebrities and just ask them questions? And like, I really was that person. It was that really like old school reporting. And definitely being at the Daily was like the ultimate training for that.
Do you consider yourself like naturally like an extrovert, or like, did that take something really you had to like push through?
It's a good question, because I think people look at me now and they're like, oh my God, she's so confident. She's super extroverted. But when I was little and growing up, I was the most introverted person ever. I didn't want to go to nursery school. I wouldn't leave my mom's side when we were touring schools, you know, to go into elementary school. And I was just always so shy. You know, I did make great friends, but it was very hard for me. I don't know what it was that made me shift into becoming a more extroverted person. But at the head of my nursery school knew, and maybe she does, if she knew that I'm now basically on television for a living and I talk to a million people, she'd be like, that's not the same girl. Sydney was a mute growing up. So it's a little bit weird.
I think you kind of remind me of me in the sense where I think like people think that I'm naturally an extrovert, which I think for me, it's more, I enjoy the challenge. Something that kind of scares me, I almost want to be like, no, I'm going to like push through that shit. So I feel like you're similar, where it's like, because maybe that's something that didn't come natural to you, it made you want to go harder that way.
Subconsciously maybe. And now what's so funny is everyone's like, oh, do you get nervous when you go on shows? And the truth is I never get nervous. That pressure, and I think that's what you're pointing at. Mm-hmm. I always thrive in pressured situations. So me knowing that there's a million people watching, I'm way more comfortable than when it's kind of like a one-on-one conversation. It's very weird.
So when did you start like feeling comfortable in front of the camera? Was there a moment or things that you learned how to like not be nervous?
I mean, I look at my first gig, which was on Amazon Style Code Live when Ariana Grande's brother Frankie was hosting it, along with a couple other people who are now on Good Morning America and Estra, and I was like their fashion expert.
A big break.
I would say that was like I don't know if it was the big break, but it was like my first like entree into doing like a concrete, you know, visual form of journalism associated with an actual brand. Right. Like, I feel like the big break was probably being on NBC New York Live, because that was the first broadcasted and Amazon was just digitally. Okay. But it was definitely like my first moment. And like being on that show was also like huge training to being so comfortable to where I am today. Like, I wasn't nervous then. I think have developed a personality through the years of doing this. And it's kind of like riding a bike, which I don't do very well, but this is what people tell me. The more you practice something, the more you just become comfortable.
Yeah. So out of all the celebrities that you've interviewed, is there one that like stands out to you the most, or someone that you're just like, you were so excited to meet them? Any cool stories?
Yeah. So a few. I mean, so when I was at the Daily Front Row, I was in LA for vacation with my family. And I got an email that the publicist for UGG had seen on my Instagram that I was there. And Tom Brady was the face of the line at the time. And they were like, we're shooting the brand new campaign with Tom in the hills of Malibu. I know this is your week off, but like on Saturday, would you want us to send you a car? You can come spend the day with us, witness what it's like for him to get this, you know, shoot done and interview him and be the exclusive person to do that. And I was like, yeah. And I spent the whole day with them, like in this huge house overlooking all of California. I interviewed him. We took a picture together. He was so nice. He was so attractive. I mean, like,
yes,
honestly. So that was a huge moment. Interviewing Kim Kardashian was huge. That was a shorter piece, but it was, you know, obviously awesome. And even now on my show at Lunchtime with Sydney, Candace Cameron Bure, who's just been such a favorite star of mine. I was obsessed with Full House growing up. And, you know, every single person, honestly, who I speak to has taught me something. I learned about them. And it just really goes to show that celebrities, designers, these people who are so public, they're not so much different from you. They just have more exposure. And to be able to sort of find that moment of how they are so relatable and be able to translate that to viewers and readers is what I enjoy so much.
I can relate, because even with me with this podcast, every person I've had on, I've learned something from. And also, I just genuinely enjoy getting to know people and hearing their stories where it doesn't even feel like I'm doing work. And I think that's like the true, everyone should strive to have a job where it doesn't feel like you're really working.
Completely. And what I tell everybody is that, like, when I did work at the Daily Front Row, it did look super glamorous because I was like on the Met Ball red carpet, but it was so much hard work. And I was working literally 24 hours. And I'm not just saying that, like, for it to sound whatever, I genuinely did. And it was years of doing that and busting my butt off in that way. And sometimes you have to go through the trenches in order to get to the place where you are ready to have the responsibility and independence of having your job that you love and can tell yourself how to do that, you know?
No, when you love something, it's like you're most of the time you're really not getting paid for all of those hours. It's really a labor of love. And
yes.
You know, and sometimes it takes for you, I mean, even a decade to really get to where you are now, and just gotta keep pushing through. It may not happen the first year, but just keep going. Eventually you'll be in a place that you probably never thought you were going to be.
Yeah.
And I know one thing that you do so well is the brand that you've built. And I think why do you think it's so important for people, especially in your industry, but even in general, like to be building a personal brand?
Listen, like it's not for everybody because like you just said, building a brand takes so much time and you evolve and it's not like concrete. Like if you told me that I was doing the Sunshine with Sydney show 5 days a week, even 6 months ago, or not 6 months ago, since it's been going on for like 5 months, but a year ago, I would have never believed you.
Yeah.
So I think you just first have to do that. But I think it is really important to be, if you are starting a brand, to be consistent with it and to think to yourself, how can I do something and put something out there that's a little bit different? The reality is, it's like at this point in life, there's so many people who are so smart and so cool and do so many things, but it's how can you put your spin and twist? Mm-hmm. And I think for me, in terms of like doing these on-air segments, of course there have been other fashion segments and fashion personalities, but I think what makes me different is that everything I put on camera is always on a budget. So you don't have to spend a lot of money to get the trends. Style and fashion, it's not about money, it's about style. And that what I think I try to just really convey, you know, to the audiences that I speak to on air.
We're going to talk more about fashion in a second, but I was going to say about your branding. I know that it's also led to really cool opportunities. Like you've been an ambassador for some really cool brands. You've done Shunts, De Beers, Furla, Intermix, et cetera. So like what other opportunities have like come from you building a brand?
I think it, you know, in terms of those brand partnerships, which have been amazing, you know, I think that for me, my brand, I try to always be super approachable. And I think that's what the brand sees. It's like if a brand hires me to host these events, they know that I'm not going to just stand there, you know, getting paid and just expecting whatever to go on. Like I'm so involved in every single step of the way of everything that I do. And, you know, brands like that. And yeah, like Schutz was the first brand who gave me an opportunity. We hosted an event together in New York City right when I left my job at the Daily. And it did so well that they flew me out to LA like 2 months later to do the same thing. And this time it was at Nordstrom at the Grove. And there were like tons of people who came. And these people weren't just people who were coming to like meet me, but they were coming to shop. And I think that's the other difference is because I've had the industry credibility, which I try to bring to my brand, the viewers and audience, they trust what I say. They know if I'm going to post something, it's not because I am just posting it to post. Like, right. I like it.
You're being authentic with your brand and you're not just going to put something out there because you're getting paid for it.
Never.
Good. Talking about your book. So I wanted a quote. You said this, you said, you know, talking the message for women everywhere, what you wear on the outside can influence who you are and how you feel and help you live a more meaningful life. I love that. So first, major congrats on the book, like such an epic life achievement. When did this like idea even come about? Like you wanting to write a book?
I feel like I've always known. And I think, you know, once I left my desk job at, you know, the Daily Front Row, which was in so much of by the support of my grandfather, because everyone else thought I was insane. That's when I was starting to really think big. And the things that you think seem like they're so far out of your reach become closer because you're honing in. And it was really important for me that if I was going to come out with a book at 26 years old, I didn't want it to come off like I was writing this memoir where I'm like, I've done all these things or I've made it. Like, that's not what this is supposed to be. This is supposed to help people who are on the journey of life and career. And for me, how style has helped me, you know, throughout achieving the things that I want. And I meant exactly what I said in that quote. And, you know, style is in a lot of ways about confidence and making you feel good about yourself. When you dress the part, you feel better, I believe, about yourself. And, you know, I really wanted to create a space, a tangible book where women and men, you know, can go to get life lessons, to learn how to dress, to develop their personal style, to build that confidence and how to take risk both in fashion, but also just in life. So many tangible lessons, but also stories where I get more personal because I'm constantly getting DMs from girls asking me to open up more. And, you know, I don't look at myself, and it's a kind of a mixed thing because I don't look at myself as like an influencer. Mm-hmm. So Instagram's a platform I use, but I'm not, you know, I'm authentic and I show my life, but like, that's not my main purpose on Instagram. So this book does go into things that I think people want to hear about more. And yeah, I'm excited for people to read it.
Yeah. Different side of you. I'm going to buy it. I'm so excited. And then I guess when shopping on a budget, like what are some of your favorite brands that you like to mix low, high? Like what are some ones that you're into right now?
I feel like they're constantly changing, and it's been really unfortunate with Corona, obviously, that the brands aren't able to produce. So like, even if you wanted to go spend money, there's not much to buy because they're like repurposing clothes from the last year. But, you know, I really always love Zara. You know, some of their stuff is pricey, is just the truth, for being a more lower brand that people look at. But I love Zara. I used to love Topshop when it was here. I usually go to London once a year, which I won't be able to obviously this summer, for work, and we go, and I always meet with Topshop, and, they like, we do a whole shopping spree together, and they're just like amazing to me. So I love them. I also really enjoy ASOS. That's a little bit more like, it depends on the season. I think right now they've done a good job, and I got these really cute, I can show you, these platform wedges that were $50, and they're so cute. And I always love Revolve too. I think Revolve does a really good job of, no matter what your budget is, you really can find something. And I think they've been a little bit more price conscious as of late. So yeah, but I also believe, like, I'm not trying to say too that I don't have, you know, some designer pieces. Like, I save my money for the designer pieces that I believe won't go out of style, and I don't do it a lot. It's like a couple of times in a year, and it's a great shoe or a bag. And like, those are the items I take care of. And, you know, I always believe invest in the classics, but if you're going trendier, that's when you should go for the more, you know, budget friendly brands.
What do you think is like our statement pieces, like every woman like needs in her closet? Just like, you have to have a solid what?
Yeah. So I guess my perspective on that has changed a little bit since we're not getting all dressed up. Like, I probably would have said, oh, like a little black dress, but like, do you really need the little black dress right now? Sure. Right. Right. You know, something I think everyone needs, a great fitting pant, whether it's a jean, if that's your thing, whether it's, you know, like a really nice textured pant or just like a classic black pant, whatever your pant is, something that fits well and you can dress up or down. I love bodysuits. I think they're so great for layering. You can even, if you have like a really great one-piece bathing suit, that's something that you could also use as a bodysuit, but just something that has that layering ability. Everyone needs a great pair of hoops. I love gold and silver, like fun geometric shapes. I think it's great to just have a really awesome leather jacket because you can wear that basically all year round. I'm someone who gets very cold at night in the summer. And I personally now cannot go through getting dressed without biker shorts. It's not for everybody. I'm very curvy. And I found that what Amazon has are like $12. They fit amazing. And I'm going to wear them all year round. Like, they're my new version of sweatpants.
Love that. And one thing that you've also done, which I give you so much credit for, is that like, I see that you get dressed up every day in the mornings, and which is so good because it really does set the tone for like the rest of the day, and it puts you in like in a work position. Because I'll admit, the days that I'm literally like not even getting out of my pajamas, I do feel sluggish like the entire day. I don't really get, and the days where I get dressed, I do feel way more productive. One thing I wanted to talk about this before, but I didn't transition into it. You've also done some really cool events. I know we talked about New York Fashion Week before we started. We met at a show there, Sally LaPointe, I think it was. You've done the Met Ball, the CFDA Awards. What was like probably one of your most like, I don't know, a moment where you're just like, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this right now. Like an iconic moment. Yeah.
I think the Met Ball was always my dream. I was so lucky to be able to cover it twice. being on the red carpet. And like, this was so interesting. Like, I was always placed next to reporters from like Vogue, New York Times. And, you know, I was from this small publication, but what was very interesting is that, you know, the designers bring their dates, right? So, and those are the celebrities. And so the designers all knew me because of all of the years, I'm getting a text here, from all of the years of covering shows and writing articles. So they would come to me and I would get the scoops from the celebrities. And the New York Times reporter, this guy, he'd always say to me, and he's a very famous journalist, and he'd be like, how are you getting these people? I'm like, well, so yeah. Don't underestimate, you know, the smaller outlets. But that was such a huge pinch me moment. And, you know, we still had to like dress up for the Met Ball, even as journalists. And also though, then last year being able to then do a segment for E, that was my very first time on E! News, and it was doing
I was freaking out. Yeah.
Yeah. How to get the Met Ball look for less. And, like, E! Was always my dream. Always. And that's how I started, you know, doing segments for them, was just doing that. And it was the Met Ball. And so it really kind of goes back to the Met Ball in general. Yeah, what, in both ways.
What years were those? You said you did it twice. Do you remember what year?
So I graduated college in 2016. So 2016 and then 2018. Yeah, 2016, 2018. And then did it, you know, I wasn't on the carpet for E, but we did the segment, and that was 2019. So yeah.
Did you dress yourself or did you work with a brand to help you? Do you remember what you wore?
When I was at the Met Ball the first year, I remember, okay, so I wore a Jonathan Simkhai dress. I also wore Jonathan Simkhai on the cover of my book. And I wore like a little bomber jacket over the dress because we were going to be out on the carpet for hours and it's freezing. And you're not allowed to go to the bathroom. It's like a whole thing. And then the second time, the theme was Comme des Garçons. Mm-hmm. And I wore a dress. Who was the designer? That is such a good, not Tony Bianco. Thank you. I'm not remembering the designer. It was a very, very small brand. I'll have to go back and look. But they were both dresses and I was all dressed up. So, yeah.
So cool. Such an iconic, God, like you're hitting literally like bucket list things in your life before the age of 26. It's like amazing.
It never feels enough though. I'm telling you, I have the highest standards for myself.
You gotta keep that hunger going, because if you don't, no one's going to give it to you. So you gotta, absolutely. Yeah. What are things that you're doing right now in the summer, like for fun? Like what are you... I know there's like not a lot, but
I know it's, you know, something like, again, cause I'm a contributing editor for Hamptons Magazine, which is where I spend a lot of my summers. And I have a column every week called Sadic Files, which is kind of like what I do with Lunchtime with Sydney. It's interviewing cool people and, like totally honest. And I think everyone, you know, when we talk about what people do for fun, they're like, oh, I'm not really going out, but like, I'm genuinely not going out. Like I go to town once a day. I pick up my coffee. I don't go into stores, and I'm not judgmental people, but like I live with my mom. My mom's, you know, a little older, and everyone says like, oh, you know, you're young. If you get the virus, you're going to be fine. Like, I don't want to get the virus. I don't like getting a cold. And, you know, I just feel like right now to me being healthy is honestly like my idea of kind of fun, because yeah, I was invited to a party the night for the 4th of July, but if I go and then tomorrow I get a call that someone has Corona, my whole summer shot, I'll be devastated.
Right.
So I feel like right now fun for me is just being outside. I've picked up tennis. I'm so enjoying playing. I'm growing Lunchtime with Sydney. My book, there's a million things going on with it behind the scenes, and I'm just really drowning myself in work. But you know something, and I haven't got on a date. It's so bizarre. I used to date all the time. Now I don't date at all. And it's been interesting because, like, you know, I'll get some texts and it's kind of fun to flirt over the phone. But at the same time, I'm like, someone really likes me. They better show up here and have a social distant coffee in my backyard.
Wait, I wasn't going to talk about this, but I want to get into it now. So, dating. What was your dating life before all of this? Were you doing like the dating apps, or were you just like getting set up with friends, or how was that going?
I wish someone would set me up, because maybe I would actually have like a consistent relationship that's successful. But I feel like girls, like, not to be whatever, but girls are a little bit selfish. I'm like, they're not going to give someone else a guy, right? Like they're going to try it out first. And then if it doesn't work out, but then if they do that, then it's like sloppy and you don't want to be with your best friends.
Right.
Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I've been on the apps. I feel like I've definitely gotten a little more guarded in the last year, just because of like the TV stuff and like the book. And like, I just don't want people around for the wrong reason. Right. or also like guys are kind of intimidated, I think, when girls are really strong and, you know, they're going for it. So, yeah, I've been like talking to one or two people for this entire, you know, time. And I think they think I'm crazy because I won't go back to the city to go out with them. But listen, I think you have to wait for what's really good in life. So
exactly. Worth the wait, honey. But so right now you're not doing the dating apps right now. It's just you're just talking to this one.
I met someone from the dating app. We got off the app. And now we're texting. And yes, I mean, like I'm guilty if I'm really bored at night, which is very rare, but like I will just scroll on my bed and, you know.
Yeah. Have you dated in different cities or it's only been New York?
I am notoriously known for having flings in different cities. I feel like I'm not the girl who's known to have a boyfriend, but I am known to have, you know, like a lot of lust. And yeah, so when I'm in LA and DC, like all the time. So yeah. When I'm in each place, I see the person who I like in those cities. And until I find the one who I'm like, okay, I could actually see myself getting married, then I'll commit to that one person. But right now I've got too much going on to feel like I have to, you know, fully dedicate my time to someone. I'd rather dedicate to my family right now, you know?
Is there a certain type of vibe you're looking for? Like, do you like more of a New York guy or like a guy down south or like a DC political guy? Like, what are you into?
I feel like if you looked at the history of guys who I've been with, they're not consistent at all. The only thing that's consistent is that they're smart and good looking. That's it. Everything else is totally different. I don't have a type. No, I think I just want, I really am attracted to guys who are super motivated and hungry and to have their shit together and who aren't trying to figure it out. But every guy I've been with, like, it's not about being picky, but like they all kind of have issues and I know no one's perfect, but I don't want to settle at 26.
No, don't. I feel like we live in an age now where, honestly, I always tell myself I can't even see myself getting married before 30, to be quite honest. So I just consistent, like myself living my life. And I tell my friends, like, you're going to be married with kids for the majority of your life. Like, why am I rushing into that? Like, I have, like, enjoy this time in my life of being single and figuring myself out and trying new things. Because You don't get it back. Exactly. Are there any trips? I know we can't travel right now, but are there any like destinations that as soon as like we get the okay and things feel better, you want to like go explore?
I mean, I just miss being in LA so much because LA is like my second home. And I was really thinking about, I've really always been bi-coastal since I left my job at the Daily, but like, I was really thinking of, you know, making a place there, you know, kind of like a second home for me. So I could really hunker down a little bit there during like award season and stuff. So I really hope I can do that if the opportunity still sort of presents itself for being appropriate. But, you know, like my mom has a huge milestone birthday this summer. We thought we were going to go to Europe. We always take one vacation a year and I would like to be able to do that again, hopefully. But yeah, I'm a little afraid right now to get on a plane.
Yeah. Well, I guess just Long Island and being out east is like one of the best places to be during this time. So I'm in Long Island as well. So we're definitely fortunate to be where we are. What are like your goals, like long-term, personally, professionally, like what do you hope to see in like the next, like, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years?
Okay. So I'm 26. So 5 years, 10 years, I'll be between like 31 and 36.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to be exclusive to one show. I think with me, it's like when people see me on these shows, they don't necessarily always know this, but I'm producing the segments. I'm coming up with the segments. I'm getting the models. I'm getting the clothes. I'm setting everything up myself. Like, no, like literally it's not like people are helping me. It's a one woman show. And I think wherever I end up, I just want to be able to really be that hands-on and help something grow. And so, you know, whether it is a me or a Today Show, whatever it is, or maybe it's none of those things, I don't know. You know, whatever that place becomes home, I'm just ready for it to be one place. So I hope that happens. I know another book. I'm sure another book for sure. And, you know, hopefully also other products. I mean, there's a lot going on right now. Like, I feel like so many influencers, they show so much behind the scenes of what goes on. Mm-hmm. I'm not really like that. I like to show finished products because I believe so much that action speaks louder than words. So there are lots of things going on. And, you know, I am excited and I hope that I will, you know, at least have a boyfriend at that point. Maybe, I don't know if I'll have a family, but just to have some more consistency, I think is the key. Your 20s are for things to be not so consistent, but I think 30s, you hope that it is.
For sure. Have you ever thought about possibly exploring, which I feel like you might have, like exploring your own fashion line or collaborating with a brand to do something like that? Was that something you would ever want before?
Yeah, definitely. And definitely something going on along those lines that you can keep your eyes out for. And I really hope that, you know, it becomes something, you know, bigger going down for sure. But, you know, I think it's like, if you asked me maybe a few years ago, I'd be like, yeah, like handbags would be great. Who's wearing a purse now? So it's so hard right now to project into what's going to be cool in the future. But I do think something that can make people feel better about themselves and feel confident and exude everything that Aim High, which is the title of my book, you know, really does bring out, I hope to be able to do through products. So, yeah.
And then I guess what advice would you give people who want to enter this arena of being a TV correspondent or just journalism? Like advice would you give to people based on your own experiences?
I think it's just really finding your niche and becoming a trusted source. So when people hear you, they know that you are being authentic, that you know what you're talking about, you have experience, you are credible. And it's not easy. It's kind of, you know, journalism, it's something you build up and takes time. But I think everyone, like, during quarantine, especially like me with Lunchtime with Sydney, like people can go start their own show. They can start their own podcast, their own blog, like whatever form of media that they're most comfortable with. I think it's just like about taking this time to do it. And like I said before, action always is the best, you know, reward versus just talking about it.
Absolutely. So when does your book come out so people know? When? Well, they can pre-order it right now, right?
Yes. So it's available for pre-order right now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and IndieBound. So IndieBound will actually connect you to your local small bookstores. So you shop small, that's something you're into. And it comes out September 15th, which is so crazy. And it's just like, it's so wild because a book takes so much time. This has been going on for like 2 years and it's been this big secret. And now that I can even talk about it, it's like so crazy.
So excited. Well, I can't wait. I hope sometime in the future we can like celebrate with a drink or something.
Yes, I would love that.
Absolutely. But thank you so much for coming on. You were such a delight and we'll have to just, I don't know, do something once this all is over. But
Sydney's.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.